The prejudice is in your mind. You hear something and it arouses some opinion in you. That means the problem, the prejudice, is yours, not mine. Well, imagine my surprise. I'm doing show prep last night and I come across a piece on a blog called AmericanDigest.org. And I don't know who wrote this. When I printed it out, it didn't print the name of the author. Now, the column is about this little twerp that wrote the piece in the L.A. Times this week, the op-ed piece, saying that he doesn't support the troops. And I got some emails. Why didn't you talk about that? Folks, why? It's nonsensical. It would be like spending a whole segment or two talking about Jill. Or two whole segments of taking phone calls from Jill's. Why? It's so absurd. You know, and I frankly, as a talk show host, I think it's too easy. Of course, some idiot writes a piece saying he doesn't support the troops. All he wants to do is get noticed. So everybody gets all their dander up. I can't believe it. Well, we're going to get to the bottom of this. And then I get this guy on the radio and so I just ignored it. But these people, whoever it is at the American Digest, wrote a piece about this guy. His name is Joel Stein, and he's supposedly a humorist. And here's the headline of the piece. The voice of the neuter is heard throughout the land. Like some haggard crack whore banging on the door of a dealer's den willing to do anything, the hapless Joel Stein has been passed randomly about the blogosphere in the last couple of days. Once a blog pile of such mountainous proportions starts, there's little left to comment on in terms of the content of Stein's small, dry excretion after the first 5 hours. By that time, the whole quizzling screed has been pretty much picked apart like a biology major dissects an owl's pellet and glues the contents to a board with captions. And it's time for the masters of the trade to go to work and perform live on the air, and then they do the same thing what I was talking about, get all upset and outraged. Who is this guy? And he's just reveling in it the whole time with all the attention he's getting for this absurd, silly, stupid statement. As the writer of this piece then goes on to say, what interests me, quote, he says, the writer does, is how Joel Stein speaks. If you focus on it, you realize that you hear this voice every day if you bounce around a bit in our larger cities buying this or ordering that, and in general running into young people in the service sector, be it a coffee shop, a video store, department store, boutique, a bookstore, or office cube farm. It's a kind of voice that was seldom heard anywhere, but now seems to be everywhere. It's the voice of the neuter. And I mean that in the grammatical sense, neither masculine nor feminine in gender, neither active nor passive, it's intransitive. In the biological sense, biology having undeveloped or imperfectly developed sexual organs, the neuter caste in social insects, botany having no pistils or stamens, asexual. You hear this soft, inflected tone everywhere that young people below roughly 35 congregate. As flat as the bottles of spring water they carry and affectless as algae, it tends to always trend toward a slight rising question at the end of even simple declarative sentence. It has no timbre to it, no edge of assertion in it. The voice wisps across your ears as if the speaker is in a state of perpetual uncertainty with every utterance. It's as if, male or female, there's no foundation or soul within the speaker on which the voice can rest and rise. As a result, it has a misty quality to it that denies it any unique character at all. It's the Valley Girl variation of the voices that Prufrock hears. Above all, it is a sexless voice. Not, I hasten to add, a gay voice. Not that at all. It is neither that gentle nor that musical, nor is it that old shabby, lispering stereotype best consigned to the dustbin of popular culture. No, this is a new, old voice of a generation of ostensible men and women who've been educated and acculturated out of, or say rather, to the far side of any gender at all. It is, as I have indicated above, the voice of the neutered. And whoever wrote this great piece has come up with a name for them, the American Castrati. Now, this is not to say that the new American castrati of all genders live sexless lives. On the contrary, if reports are to be credited, they seem to have a good deal of sex, most often without the burden of love or the threat of children, and in this, they are condemned to the sex life of children. Not, it is only to say that this new voice that we hear throughout the land from so many of the young betokens a weaker and less certain brand of citizen than we have been used to in our history. Who is he talking about here? If I may just make a brief departure here, as though I'm a professor, and ask for a comment from the class. Who's he talking about here? Moderates. Moderates. People aren't sure of themselves. But they think, well, you know, Rush, I'm for that, but I wish we would do it smarter. I just wish we would be more sensitive in how we're going about prosecuting the war on terror. I don't want to be mean to anybody. They won't take a stand on anything until the majority is coalesced, and then they get behind that, whatever it is. That's right. Conflict resolution graduates is who they are. End up, they have no confidence. They've got nothing firm or solid that they believe in. And this is exactly what I am attempting to capture in my caricature of these people when I go into what Stan in Las Vegas accused me yesterday of, a lispy gay voice. If you can write in this tone, and of course this idiot in the LA Times can, you can become a third level columnist for the LA Times. With a little luck over time, you might even rise to the level of second string columnist for Vanity Fair. Should the country so lose its mind and elect another Clinton, you could even become a White House speechwriter. For now, you can hear the poster child for this sexless cohort in Joel Stein's dulcet voice, quavering and halting and rising to a falling, lilting question, as Hugh Hewitt exposes the nothingness at Stein's core in question after question. He was on Hugh Hewitt's radio show and he admitted he didn't even know what he's talking about. He admitted, essentially, he had no clue what he was talking about. He just doesn't like war. He just doesn't like killing. He doesn't like death. And he thinks if it will help bring these people home safely, then he will say he doesn't support the troops. What Stein has said is what his whole cohort has said in response to questions of honor, duty, country. It's the standard issue answer, and it'll be their standard issue epitaph. Whatever. Whatever. Back in just a moment. Stay with us. Here's Bill and